you are listening to Law and Gospel on this November the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2016. And today we're going to be taking a look at a hymn. And with us is our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, Tom. A blessed Advent tide to you.
There's a tide coming in?
I always call it, I think it's Advent tide, Christmas tide, Advent tide.
I haven't heard that phrase.
You haven't heard
for
that expression?
Time. Advent tide.
Okay. Just Advent. A blessed Advent.
Well, what does the word tide mean?
I don't know.
It's just wonderful that we have these wonderful things. And I guess we're going to be talking about crying today.
Yeah, on Jordan's bank, the Baptist cry.
Why is he sad? That's not why he's crying.
He's crying. He's crying out.
Yes.
He's telling forth.
Did you realize that this is another hymn by Martin Luther?
No, it is not.
Oh, good.
Charles Coffin.
Oh, wow. You already.
I am on the ball this morning.
Yes, I never heard of him. Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I was a hymn writer in the 17th century.
Yes. Well, 18th century.
No. Well, 17th and 18th.
No, he wasn't writing hymns when he was a kid.
Well, he could have been, 1676. Yeah, I guess you're right. It would have been the 18th.
You know, the problem I'm finding, because I'm at Trinity Orchard Farm, and we've got four Sundays in Advent, and then we have Wednesdays in Advent. There's not enough Advent hymns.
We could use more. That is for sure.
Right.
I love Advent. I end up using them two or three times. You're right.
Oh, the same hymn?
Oh, yes. You know, you just do, like, I try to, some of the favorite ones, I try to use them early so that I don't repeat them. And then I use them again toward the end of Advent.
What has On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry, what has that got to do with Advent?
Well, because John the Baptist is a large part of Advent. He's preparing. He's preparing the way before him. He's the forerunner of the Christ.
And so,
a voice crying out in the wilderness.
For the coming.
For the coming of Christ, right.
Because that's what Advent means.
That's right.
The Advent. So, there's a lot of comings the more I go over Advent. Two of them a lot of people don't talk about is this coming to Jordan, and the other one is the Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday, and coming to us in word and sacrament.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think of that.
Bethlehem Stable.
Coming to Bethlehem. How many more are there, can you think of?
Well,
those four. Palm Sunday.
So you're not looking forward to Judgment Day?
Oh, of course. How could I forget that? He comes on the last day. Didn't yeah. I? Wasn't that mentioned? You're right. That wasn't mentioned yet. Yeah, that's primary.
Yes.
Well, any others that we're not thinking of?
I would say, although Word and Sacrament, you said it, I always like talking about him coming into our hearts at baptism.
Uh-huh, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's Word and Sacrament.
Yeah, that can be there, too. The important thing, he's always coming to something, like the Jerusalem. It was
right.
Necessary. So I guess that would be we have a Palm Sunday reading.
In fact, I did a whole Advent theme based on baptism just last year.
Really?
Yes.
What's your theme this year?
This year it's going to be A is for Advent. I go through the whole alphabet.
Oh, that's right. So you're having 24 worship services.
Or is it 26? I'm going to divide the alphabet up over three Wednesdays.
Really?
Yes. They're going to be kind of lengthy, I'm afraid. I'm afraid the service is going to be too long. I usually try to keep them about 30, 35 minutes. I'm just a little bit apprehensive. This might be a little bit long this year.
Yeah.
Try to get the kids home at a decent hour, so they can get to bed.
Yeah. Yeah, I did something yesterday with the confirmands at Trinity Orchard Farm. I think I picked it up from, remember, I'm a super plagiarist, so I borrow everything. I think you're familiar with Kurth's.
Oh, yeah. Catechetical helps. Sure.
Yeah. Do you remember what he does with the gospel in a nutshell?
Gospel.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
John 3:16, right?
Right.
What does he do?
It's really interesting. He puts it on different lines. So the first one is God so loved the world that he gave his. Then the next line begins with only begotten. And then after that is son that whoever believes in him will not perish is the next line. And how does that end?
But who will not perish? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever
believes in him
shall not perish but have eternal life.
And so the last two lines are eternal and then life.
Right.
So if you take the first letter,
yes.
What do you get? Gospel.
Oh, I see. So he it uses an acrostic.
Yes. Is that what that's called, an acrostic?
Acrostic. Yes.
Yeah, very good. In fact, and I never had remembered that one, but that's really the gospel in a nutshell.
Yeah. Oh, Kurt's Catechetical helps. That's been around for a long time.
I did the triangle thing, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then the lines, God, between them is not the Father, is not the Son.
There's a church up in Norbourne, one of our sister congregations up in Norbourne, Missouri, that has that very symbol on its stained glass window right behind the altar. It's beautiful.
No, I can imagine.
Trinity Norbourne. Yes. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, the triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with the line. And then those... What I had them do is at the center of the triangle, write the word God, and then I had a line going from that to each person, and on the line was the word is.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was pretty good. All right. First stanza on Jordan's Bank.
On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist's cry announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake and hearken, for he brings glad tidings of the King of Kings.
In fact, is this not a fulfillment of a promise from the Old Testament?
Right. Malachi.
Yes.
Yes.
Where it talks about being a forerunner.
Right.
What would that be equivalent to today? We don't have, even when the president lands, they don't usually have a forerunner. In front of a queen, they do.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, Secret Service, they get there days in advance to check out where he's staying.
Yeah, that's true.
To check any parade route or anything like that.
The only difference is John is pretty public. They're not.
Right.
They kind of keep it behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Although it's kind of obvious who the Secret Service are. You know, when you're watching President-elect Trump walk around, there's these guys who are never looking at him. They're always looking elsewhere. I said, oh, I think that's a Secret Service guy.
And they have that little telephone wire hanging out of their...
Oh, they still? Yeah. I didn't see that. Because now you can put these phones in your ear and you can't even... Nobody can see it.
It could be, yes.
Yeah, I've never understood why... See, if I was coaching a football team... I would take the guy who tries to stop the pass, and I would have one of those things in his ear, and as soon as the pass is thrown, I would alert him to that. He'd be able to turn around, because they never call a penalty if you're turning around looking for the ball.
Well, as you said, Tom, you never played football.
Stanza two.
Okay.
Then cleansed be every life from sin, make straight the way for God within, and let us all our hearts prepare for Christ to come, there's the word come, and enter there. Now, you really need to explain to a child, what does it mean to be cleansed from every sin?
Baptism. Remind them of their baptism.
Yes, but that's how does that clean sins?
That all of our sins... In baptism, we're washed away. Every last one of our sins.
Well,
washed away in baptism.
I'm still trying to get to the point that if you normally go to a doctor and you have, say, measles and he cleanses you, the spots go away.
Right.
Okay, but that's not true with sin. The sin still is there.
But from God's point of view, all of our sins are from he looks at us through the righteousness of Christ. So you're right. We're sinner and saint at the same time. But for, as far as God's concerned, when he looks at us through the righteousness of his own son, Jesus Christ, he sees a saint.
Yes. I think the word cleanse there needs to be understood, not so much as cleaning you of your sin, that it's no longer there, but cleaning you of the punishment of your sin. That's what he did on the cross. He paid the price for our sin.
Right, okay.
And that didn't mean we get rid of sin.
Right. We daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment.
Yes.
That's true.
So you really got to explain. See, there's every other religion, when they talk about being cleansed from sin, they mean they stop sinning.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in Christianity, no. It's not possible to stop from sinning. In fact, we had a very interesting conversation. I think I can say this. The elders were talking about whether or not, what do you have those things where you put a ticket in and then you maybe get a prize if they pull your ticket? Raffles.
Oh, raffles.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have raffles at your church?
No, we don't.
Yeah. Well, they never have had at Trinity.
Until you came there.
Well, they want to raffle off me. But anyway, no. They...
What are they raffling off?
Well, this is really interesting. Some women have made a beautiful...
Quilt. Yes.
They want to raffle it off and then give the money to the boy who had the heart transplant.
Oh, yes, right.
So what do you think of that?
That's great.
So you don't think raffling is wrong in that situation?
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
No. The way they really would make money there, if they raffled off a shotgun. There are a lot of hunters there.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh. What do you think was their goodbye present to Pastor Gaunt when he left after 30 years?
What, a shotgun?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah. Plus, he had shot a deer the year before and they had the head all done.
Oh, a trophy, huh?
Yes. And he loved it.
I didn't know he was a big hunter.
I don't know how big an animal he goes after, but...
But he hunted.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and uh-huh. He still is doing up there, too. Yeah, there are a number at Trinity Orchard Farm.
I imagine so, yeah. Sure. A lot of deer out there.
Yeah, we had the sausage dinner on the same day they opened up hunting. And so we lost a few volunteers.
I'll bet so, yes.
I said they should have waited till after the hunting, and then we could have had a deer dinner, which would have been free. All the deer they caught or shot.
I suppose
or whatever.
So.
In fact, one of my confirmands shot a deer. She's in grade 6.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Her dad probably took her out hunting and she shot her first deer.
Yes. Stanza 3.
We hail thee as our Savior, Lord, our refuge and our great reward. Without thy grace, we waste away like flowers that wither and decay.
So, in the area of flowers, what would be the equivalent of grace? Why don't flowers waste away?
Well, because they have the sunshine, they have the rain, they have the needed
excellent
nurturing.
And isn't that interesting? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And he talks about being the bread of life. You know what he never does say? That I'm the rain.
Well, I think of that one hymn, Open Thou Thy Crystal Fountain.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
You know, he leads us behind still waters.
That's true. You know?
So there's water there. I'm the water of life.
Yeah, why still waters? Why was that important?
Still waters in the
Psalm
23rd Psalm.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Well, I think if I remember right, well, you don't want rushing waters. You don't want these sheep to get out and drown.
Exactly. Yes. I had never realized that if they get into rushing waters, their wool drags them under when it gets wet. That's why in New Guinea, they didn't know sheep, so they changed it to pigs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't work because pigs are good swimmers. They don't care if it's rushing water or still water.
How about the pigs that went over the cliff? They had the demons enter them. Remember that? They all drowned.
No, I was taught that the man was an epileptic and scared them when he went into his trance. That's wrong?
I don't know. Yeah, it's an apocryphal version of that miracle.
It's what the seminary allowed when I was going there.
Oh, boy. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah, I can even tell you the prof who talked about it. In fact, we read it from a book. And it's like the feeding of the 5,000. These people, when they go out to hear somebody, they always bring food with them. And therefore, when the boy gave his meager amount of food, it moved everyone else to take the food from under their robes and give it to other people.
Yes,
and that's how 5,000 were fed.
Yes, that is from, I think, The Robe.
The book, really?
The Robe, I think.
The movie had that?
Yeah, the book, The Robe. Can't remember the author, but he had that same idea in The Robe.
Yeah, see,
that book.
That's the difference between a biblical scholar and one who isn't biblical, no matter how much.
Well, they try to rationalize these miracles.
They try and take away the supernatural.
Sure.
Yes. For example, you're going to hear from some pastors that, behold, a virgin shall conceive. She really wasn't a virgin. It was just Joseph and Mary, but they made that up to fit with Isaiah 7:14.
No.
Yeah. Well, no, I agree with you. That's ridiculous, but that's... Yeah, see, we were taught that when the writers of the New Testament wrote about the life of Jesus, they included things that never really occurred in his life here on earth, but they were kind of fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. So that was kind of... Boy. Yep. That group left the synod, most of them, went to ELCA... Elka, and you can see how that has fallen on tough times
now
because of their theology. They did not listen to the forerunner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, stanza four.
Lay on the sick thy healing hand and make the fallen strong to stand. Show us the glory of thy face till beauty springs in every place.
Yeah, beauty springs in every place. What coming is that talking about?
I think he's talking about when he comes in glory on the last day.
Yeah, that's the answer.
And new heaven, and new earth.
Yes.
You're saying that's the wrong answer?
Yes.
Okay, what is it?
If you look at Isaiah, he even talks about the new heaven and the new earth.
Uh-huh.
And you know when he says it occurs? When the seed of Jesse comes. That the new heaven and the new earth is the church.
Ah.
Remember, Jesus starts his parables. The kingdom of heaven is like... He's not talking about Jesus coming in glory, but rather Jesus working in the church. And till beauty springs in every place... I think a person who is a member of the church can understand that.
Uh-huh.
Like when you go to a funeral, you're still weeping,
right.
But you don't weep as those who...
Have no hope.
Very good.
Right.
And so there's still a beauty even there in the midst of problems.
The peace that surpasses all understanding.
Excellent.
Right.
Excellent. So I think there are some who, when they see these passages, jump right away to the conclusion that this is talking about heaven after Judgment Day. But Martin Luther talks about that Isaiah is really talking about not the spiritual world, which is the heaven after, but the physical world here where the Holy Church is. Because in the church... All things work out together
right.
to your good.
That's right.
The problem is we cannot often discern that.
We walk by faith, not by sight.
Oh, that's really good. Yes.
And someday by sight.
Yes. Yes. Well, although Isaiah was really concerned about that. Woe is me, for I have seen God, and he thought he was going to be destroyed because no one can see God and live. But in that case... The angel goes to the altar, takes the coal, touches the lips of Isaiah. You know, after I did that, I kept talking about there's two ways you can take communion. You can either put your hand out and we'll put the wafer in your
right.
hand. Or we go right to your lips. Uh-huh. And I said, isn't that more significant that that's what happened to Isaiah?
Uh-huh.
That the coal that Isaiah received is now what we receive in the body and blood of Christ.
You know, I have to say, over the years, used to be, I think when I was just starting out, most people took it on their tongue.
Yes.
But today, most people take it in their hands.
Yeah, I know. I know. And if I recall your church, you have the individual cups.
We have the individual cup as well as the chalice. Chalice
what
comes
percent,
first.
Percent takes the...
I would say it's probably about... Oh, maybe a third or a fourth of them take the chalice.
You do it first? How do you know
that? Yeah, I come by with a chalice.
Well, I always go with an individual because then you know who's not taking.
How do we do this?
It's Prince of Peace Lutheran Church.
Yes, I know.
It's out there on.
Listen, I guess, no, I take it back. The individual cup comes first.
That's
individual
right.
cups come first, and then the chalice.
Because if you see they're holding it, then
right.
you skip.
Right.
When was the last time you preached there? Are you preaching there this Sunday? Oh, no,
I'm
you're
sorry,
not.
Tom. You know, you do these things so often that sometimes you have to, let's see, how do we do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. It becomes such, you're
yes.
absolutely right then. You know, that's why all parts of the liturgy, the secretary at Trinity Orchard Farm, Cindy, is really good. I have like a 12-page thing with every word I'm going to say on there.
Oh, man.
No. Because sometimes,
have you all printed out and everything?
Absolutely.
With the hymns and everything?
Yes.
Let's see. There's a name for that. I can't remember what it is.
It's
a special name for that.
Yeah, Liturgy for Dummies.
So that you don't even look at the hymnal or anything.
No.
You've got it all printed out.
All printed out.
Oh,
in fact, I was so used to that not long ago, I didn't have use of that.
Uh-huh.
And I had to go to the hymnal, and I wasn't sure where it was. Because the hymnal doesn't have the introit in it, the new.
Right, you're right.
Doesn't
yes.
have the new hymnal or that little part before the communion.
The gradual.
Yeah,
the gradual, the colic.
Do you
all
use
that.
The gradual?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I am skipping it right now.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I'm replacing with it?
One of the verses.
No.
What?
The catechism.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I use the catechism several times. You
yeah.
know.
What I'm doing is we're taking like one part and doing it for 2 or 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
So it's memorized.
Yeah, it's good.
The first commandment. Although I did notice, I told them what page to go to, but half of them gave a different translation. You know, the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, the before me isn't in the new translation.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You shall have
no other gods. That's right.
Period.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so I'm looking
for... Yeah, the whole small catechism is in the hymnal now.
Yes, it is.
And I think, is the Augsburg Confession?
No. That's long.
Yeah, you're right.
And anyway, like last night.
I remember one of the professors at the seminary thought that the Augsburg Confession should be in the hymnal. I remember him saying that. He was on the commission for
yes.
one of the hymnals, and they overruled
Well, in
him.
My view, all you need is Article 4.
Yeah.
That's long enough.
Right.
It's on justification. Okay. Can you believe we got these verses? We're not going to finish. The last one's Trinitarian, so read verse 4, please.
All praise, eternal Son,
no.
to thee.
Stanza 4.
Oh, lay on the sick. I read that.
Oh, that's right, we did do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay. The fifth one.
All
right. Praise, eternal Son, to thee, whose advent sets thy people free, whom with the Father we adore, and Holy Spirit evermore. I love this hymn.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite Advent hymns.
Really?
Yeah, and I love the melody, Puer Nobis. That's used for different hymns, too. But I do love that hymn. I love the Advent hymns.
That was Latin that he just said.
Puer nobis. Let's
yes.
see. I think that's my son. That's what that means. Nobis, my son.
Yes. We'll have to ask Charles Coffin. Well, we can't because he's in the coffin.
Yes.
Yes. On Jordan's bank, the Baptist cry. Tell me what time your Advent service is tonight.
Advent service is tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Wednesday evening. For 3 Wednesdays, 7 p.m.
So you're not having the 4th Wednesday
no,
either.
It's too close to Christmas Eve.
Yeah, we don't want to have too many worship services, do we?
Well, there is a limit to what I can do anyway.
Yes. Anyway, you got to go back and figure out, do I give out the cup first or the individual glass?
Okay, Tom.
And when is your services Sunday?
Sunday, it's we have a Saturday evening service at 5
That's right.
p.m.
Yes.
And then Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
Prince
have...
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church.
And at Trinity Orchard Farm tomorrow night, the important part is at 6, a free meal. And then we have a worship service after that at 7. And then Sunday, yep, two worship services, 8 and 10:30 with a Bible study in between. So have a happy Advent. We'll look forward to seeing you next week.
Yes, enjoy every bit of it.
God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.